SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. From a wet and snowy and icy upstate New York. Yeah, a little bit of a wintry mix. They make it sound so nice. It's not so nice. But we're still waiting, actually, for any real snow up here. And today's morning, it was a little frantic around here. We need a new washing machine. It's like one thing after another. So, but Tina, somebody rear-ended Tina the other day. So this all falls to me because, you know, I got nothing else to do. per Tina. I'm at school all day. What, you're finished by noon. Yeah, that's it. I work 180 minutes. what am I supposed to say? Yeah, Casey's weighing in that Jolene, that she's the same way with Casey. Right. Oh yeah, you're finished. You're finished by noon. Not so simple. Not so simple. Right. I love it. Well, I had to go open the Bilco doors in case they say they're coming after 12. You know, that never works. That trick never works. They're going to be here between noon and 2, and they show up, you know, 3 hours early, and you can't turn them away. So I opened the Bilco doors, and so they make their way down to the basement. I don't know. Then I got to go bring Tina. I got Tina's car. I got to bring it to the body shop, and the estimates and this and that. And I don't know. The bottom line is I'm looking forward to hitting the road as soon as possible. the first trip here. Not that far away. And if I really plan it right, it'll be like the last few winters where I leave and the next day there's a foot of snow. That's the perfect scenario. Well, we've got a handful of conversations that I'm looking forward to. Pete Fornatale will join us. Pete was unavailable last week on opening Wednesday as we got started, and want to catch up on the super qualifiers. You're talking about trips. Well, NHC just weeks away, and there were 10, of course, and we mentioned the Matisse brothers. There were the 10 qualifiers from Saturday, and the week before I reached out to Gary Palmisano Jr. and got the qualifiers from the week before as well. So we're going to add some names. And, of course, the one opportunity with the super qualifier, some people went ahead and used it. If they were double qualified for Vegas this year, they used it for next year already for the February 2020 NHC. We'll do some sale conversation and a handful of things, actually, with Sid. And Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll get Sid's impressions. The January sale halfway through, and another very good day yesterday. No $5 million sellers, but that wasn't expected by any means. But another very solid day of trade with a number of $500,000 and a $750,000 broodmare purchase. In fact, the top Seller yesterday. House rules. She's in full to Quality Road. $750,000. And this a first step in the dispersal of Joe Shields' bloodstock. And, of course, House rules. Alan Jerkins and think about the chief. She's now 8 years old, and Windstar took her home, and they'll get a Quality Road baby out of it. You also had another big price for the young best performance, the four-year-old Broken Vow filly. And she reached 560, Three Chimneys. Of course, the Tori Alba team, and 560 for her, Lane's End consigned. And then the whole bunch of 400,000 and 300,000, very solid. The babies, too, the short yearlings, a Union Rags. Union Rags has been quite popular, including a mare that was in full, 400,000, that Lavender Chrissy, who Dale Romans trained. She's in full to Union Rags. And this Union Rags colt, 390,000. Albert Racing. Mike McMahon, he paid 250 for a Run Happy colt. Dudley Racing, 250 for a Kitten's Joy colt that the Ramseys bred, and 230 for a Cairo Prince. The highest filly, 2.25. That was Bradley Thurbitz, Pete Bradley, and this is a Mulholland bred Go-Sapper filly. So a very nice day two. Two more days of horse sale at Keeneland. We'll get Sid's thoughts as well as the questions that we didn't get to last week, and that included the little touching on the final standings for the stallion races, first crop sire and general sire list, etc. And as promised, I asked Sid, make sure to get Sid's recommendation for Abel Tasman. See what he suggests. All right. So, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and we'll talk to Seth Merrow. And hopefully, Seth, I hope he's looked at the rest of the aqueduct sequence tomorrow. And we touched on it with Andy yesterday. And it's worth tackling if you are more of a pick five player. The Naira Betts pick five, that carry, and the full pick six carry. But it's a good sequence. So we'll see if hopefully Seth is. Sometimes Seth doesn't really cap until the night before. So ideally, he's looked at it. All right. Yeah. Yesterday I mentioned before we go to the break and have Pete join us. We ran yesterday at Philly, which was a lot of fun. And, sometimes you got to be very patient. Isn't that the lesson that we hear so often? Just enough hope. Mike Farrow and Patty Farrow are handling her. She went down to Philly in December. And she came running very late in that race after a tangled beginning. And it showed some signs of life. She turned five last week. And this was her 11th start, and she had one really good start early on the turf. Then she had a hock injury that really dogged her for like a year. And so she really never got into a rhythm. Well, yesterday she came running again and got beat two lengths and had to, you know, settle for third, but it was a good third. And, you know, it makes you feel like it was worth sticking out. I mean, that you can see that she's gonna graduate. She's gonna win. So I thank the Pharaohs. I appreciate their taking her on down there. And who knows? By all rights, she's a just enough humor. So by all rights, she's more of a turf horse. But I haven't seen a fig yet, but I think arguably she may have run her best race of her career yesterday on the dirt. So she's healthy, and yeah, sometimes you just got to wait it out, I guess. That's the lesson, right? We talk about that enough. So it was the first time she's hit the board in her career. So make sure, you know, it gives you confidence to continue. In other words, it makes paying the bills palatable. If you can see, you know, if you can see a light that might be there at the end of the tunnel. So it was fun. And I should mention Sylvester Gonzalez, who really liked her. He got her as a pickup mount in December and told Gary at the time, she came running. He said, I thought maybe, you know, if the race had been longer. So she looked like she wants to go a little further. And the two favorites ran off the board, and so she paid $6.60 to place. So I heard from a couple of people who bettered a place because, you know, you're looking at her PPs, you wouldn't be, you know, sending it in on the win end. Yeah, she was worth a little bit of a win bet, but I think she went off at 8-1. A couple of notes before we go to Pete. There were a couple of passings that I had to slip in. Royal Anthem. And 23. And this happened around Christmas, if you missed it. And, you know, obviously had a great racing career, and then had a very useful stallion. Bred by John Franks. And Kip Elser started Royal Anthem. And Stephen Got Even, the news came yesterday. Of course, trained by Nick Zito, and nice horse, Stephen Got Even. He had some useful winners. First Dude, in fact, Stephen Got Even, and I Want Revenge. Let's take a break here. Pete Fornatel starts us off after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million
souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in, Wednesday, we'll go downstate. Pete Fornital joins us, and couldn't get to Pete on opening Wednesday last week, so even though we've talked, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. It's great to be back on the At the Races air. So much has happened since the last time we talked.
Tell us what. How was your holiday?
Holiday was great. It was great. It was unexpectedly chaotic, running around, working a lot more than I like to work at that time of the year, setting up an all-new podcast. I'll head the questions off at the pass. So, as I described on the show, I was expecting to have a long and fruitful freelance partnership with our friends at DRF, and I think right when the time came to finally put that from something we were acting on in good faith into writing, there was some hesitation on both sides. And basically, the end result of what happened is, it kind of reminds me of relationships I had when I was much younger, before I met Susan, where you just stay in a relationship maybe 6 months or a year too long, and you get to a point at the end where, you know, maybe you still liked each other, but you didn't love each other. I think that's probably the best description. And we've come to an amicable breakup. So I'm no longer going to be writing in the pages over there, and I'm no longer going to be doing the shows for them. But the good news is the show continued unabated right through the holiday. JK and I launched the In the Money Players podcast. Folks interested to check it out can go to inthemoneypodcast.com. In fact, if you're a podcast listener already, there's a little survey there, a little demographic survey that I would find it, I would consider it a tremendous favor if folks fill that out, inthemoneypodcast.com. You can also find us on SoundCloud, on iTunes, on Spotify. But it's being independent and seeing the seamless transition where the numbers did not go down from the last DRF show to the first In the Money independent show. It made me feel great and made me realize that DRF, you know, I feel like I owe them a lot. They helped us get off the ground and get going and build an audience, but we're ready to go out on our own, and I'm really excited about some of the opportunities and look forward to having a little bit more content available to talk about. Obviously, when you have one big title sponsor, you have to respect that. And I'm happy that I'm hoping DRF is still going to be one of the companies in the fold and somebody I do more work for in the near future and the far future. Still have a ton of friends over there. And obviously, their past performances are at the core of my handicapping, and that's certainly not going to change. So it's exciting, and it's something very different, and not exactly what I figured to be thinking about, Steve, as I was standing over the prime rib roast on Christmas Day.
Yeah, well, and I saw the and followed some of the notations online and you know, the responses, and you know the. you get the cheers and the jeers.
It was about 100 good responses to one bad response. One guy really got under JK's skin. You know, he doesn't suffer those characters too well all the time. But the response has been fantastic, and the great thing is they're all wonderful. The ones, you know, when you have somebody like Richard Migliori telling you you're doing a good job, it's just so gratifying. And it's also gratifying when somebody who I've never met, who found out the show from Twitter, who's that supposedly unicorn racing fan, not really a unicorn racing fan, the 25-year-old racing fan, they write you a note just talking about, you know, how important the show has been, and they don't have a in-person mentor, and the show plays that role for them.
Sure.
I mean, that's so gratifying as well, and I'm sure you can relate, Steve, with some of the warm feedback you've gotten from all corners of the industry and the fantastic job you do, but it's been pretty cool, I just have too much to do at the moment. That's the only problem. Just making sure things are to the standard I want them to be. In a funny way, the more control, I guess it's rather intuitive. The more control I have, the more pressure I feel to make it the best it can be. So there's been a lot of that going on.
Well, give everybody the instruction on how to find it if they haven't already.
Absolutely. If you're an iTunes user, real easy. Go to the iTunes store, and if you search for InTheMoneyPlayersPodcast.com, a lot of people, though, like to do the direct link. We now have it embedded on the show's own blog. That's InTheMoneyPodcast.com. You can go there. And, of course, you'll find links to all this stuff at my Twitter, at LoomsBoldly, and also over at JK's Twitter, at YouTube. T Big Hair. So should be pretty easy to find. If anybody gets in any trouble, any questions about it, hit me up on Twitter. Very happy to answer any and all questions. Funny enough, I think the podcast at drf.com email is still active. I still seem to be getting emails on there. Not quite sure why, but if that's easier for you to remember, try there, but don't be surprised if that one bounces back.
Well, you know, at some point, it occurs to me, I don't know how cumbersome it is to change these Twitter addresses. I know you can change your, you know, the moniker in front. At some point, Jonathan's going to have to change it to UT Less Hair. And
I know. It's so. For a minute and a half there, he was letting it grow back out, and it all worked again. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he changes that branding at some point. But then again, it's kind of like in the Twitter world, it's kind of cool. The disconnect almost works because it's like, oh, he's been on Twitter a long time.
The funny thing about those kinds of whether it's forums, anyway, if you're an online forums, my Derby Trail, etc., you know, people had these names early on, and nobody really knew, you know, that they were going to end up having to stick forever, you know, and so
yeah.
you ended up getting certain identities, and whether you started out anonymously or whether you made it a little bit more apparent and used, you know, part of your name. You know, one of the things I've used forever is tied to my business, my consulting, which is K7 Marketing, and bilingual up in Montreal in French was Cassette, K7. And so I used Cassette, K-A-S-E-P-T, and that became, you know, that's been kicking around for 15 plus years, more than that, actually, 20 years.
You just solved a mystery for me that I've been meaning to ask you about 800 times that I never got to. There you go. That's where that comes from.
It is just funny
in the internet world and these days, who chooses to continue to remain anonymous. I think definitely the cool way to do it these days is to be right there out in the open. But I remember those forum days. There was nothing trollish back in the day in having a screen name. It's just what you did. It was just like the culture.
Exactly. And you didn't know that it was gonna stay with you for, you know, the rest of your internet life. It's pretty funny. There's certain ones, depending on what that would be actually a very funny segment, which is reuniting or recounting the earliest days of horse racing message board. The ones that went way back, like there was Derby List and there was
sure. Cindy Pearson. Some of
Cindy Pearson Delay and the old ESPN. The origins of my site, of Derby Trail, came from the ESPN message board. And I had been planning to launch at DerbyTrail.com because I had started the Derby Trail kind of conversation group at Yahoo. And this is 2000, 2001, 2002, conversing on the ESPN message board. A lot of us started to get friendly, you know, both online and then, you know, sometimes you'd go to certain places. Everybody knew they were going to be at Keeneland and at Oaklawn and at Saratoga and whatever, Gulfstream, Tampa. And so I started to put together the website when Barbaro was stricken in the Preakness. And I don't know, the people from the ESPN message board would remember this. There was an influx of sick trolling to the ESPN message board that destroyed it.
Bizarre.
It was very strange. I mean, people coming and ridiculing and somehow celebrating. It was taunting people about Barbaro getting hurt. It was really weird, and it completely destroyed. So I threw the switch on Derby Trail, and you know, 200-300 people moved over from the ESPN message board, and that was the start of Derby Trail.
I remember the old DRF message board moderated
sure.
by Andy Serling. And
yes.
he did a great job on that. And I'm still, all these years later, grateful to him for defending Frank Scatoni and I from trolls on there when our first book, Six Secrets of Successful Bettors, came out. That was a place. And I actually got more involved on that's really how I got, a few years after that, got into English racing, was meeting that group of pro punters over there, including my friend Rob Dove, one of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today, and hanging out with those guys during the UK racing day online. And some of those guys I still refer to by screen name. My friend Dan Gilbert, who lives closer to Cheltenham than the parking lot, who lets me sleep on his couch during the festival some years, I still call him Dan Hardcore because that's what he was on the forum. is amazing how this stuff can stick after a decade and a half.
And that includes, you know, the you know, some of the wackos that, whether it be a Pace Advantage and anywhere else. I mean,
can I tell a quick Pace Advantage story? I don't know
Doug,
the guy's Doug name.
Salvat.
I promise I won't slander anybody.
Oh, come on. You go ahead.
There was a guy, my first dealing, back when I was on the stage, being the stage manager for Harvey Pack at Ciro's. Andy Serling, of course, also a big part of those shows. There was a guy, the first I'd ever heard of Pace Advantage was a guy with a Pace Advantage t-shirt who wanted, you know, Harvey would sign whatever, very generous with his time, but some guy in a Pace Advantage t-shirt wanted an autograph when there was like 90 seconds to we were going on air, and it was actually the only time in my life I've gotten to be a bouncer. He started, like, Harvey said, you know, sorry, I can't do this now, come see me after the show, and the guy starts yelling, we're 90 seconds to air, I had to basically tackle him and roll him off the stage. It was pretty entertaining, and I came to realize that that type of social skill or lack thereof, not uncommon on the Pace Advantage form, from what I understand.
That's great. This is gonna prompt a. We're gonna do a poll today about. We'll do a poll and we'll see where people got their start internet wise. You know, on forum agglomerations, you know, that one of the great tools, actually, we touched on this a couple of years ago when it came to Scott Carson and Public Handicapper and their contests. But the Sitco,
20 years of Public Handicapper,
is that right? It's 20 years.
I think it's 20 years.
Well, the Sitco Pick Six was a huge hit. I mean, we used to have tremendous fun playing the Sitco Pick Six, and which was a, you know, basically a pick and pray.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of fodder here. And you know, it's funny. I've threatened for years with Evan Hammond and others, and I still have the list. I wrote this up years ago. The origins of a number, the family tree, as it were, of journalists, going back to Figs Form and the Racing Times and Metro Turf and places, you know, that going back to the, you know, the 80s and 90s, and people that have copies of them, of any of those moribund great, you know, great at the time, each contributed monstrously to the modern racing publication, but it's hysterical to go look at them and see who, you know, started where, and you know, Ed Fontaine was involved at Figs Form, and you look through those pages and you know, people that you now think have been at Bloodhorse forever or at DRF forever, they were somewhere else. You know, Dave Litvin, the first place I saw Dave Litvin published was in Metro Turf. Which,
right. And then, the equine equivalent of Sports Illustrated's Faces in the Crowd.
Yeah, exactly. It a lot of fun. And I'll dig up that list because I think Evan Hammonds and I and maybe Lenny, we made like this list up of, and Evan had a exhaustive memory as to who was where, and where they started, and of course, you know, the Racing Times. We had some fun with when Steve Crist and Andy Beyer got their Eclipse Awards of Merit. You know, we touched on racing. Racing Times with Steve and all the great people that he sourced that basically launched careers. So the origin tales. This is don't forget, you know, this is, you've got to realize that's what these superhero all these superhero vehicles, that's what they depend on, the origin stories.
Absolutely, it exists in our game too.
Well, our game, when it comes to getting to the NHC and getting to Vegas, and we're making all the arrangements on that front, couple of big weekends. And on the 22nd of December, you had Fairgrounds. And then this past Saturday, particularly with the way the worm turned and the way the outcome turned, the last super qualifier and the Matisse brothers, Paul and Duke, 1-2. They found a horse in that Santa Anita Nightcap, Pete, that propelled them. And you ended up with 10 winners. You had 150-plus participants. And some used, I know some, like Paul Weezer, used his win. He finished fifth. Paul used it for his 2020, his first seat for next year.
Oh, that's, I didn't realize you could do, you, they were doing
it. It was Player's Choice.
So smart. No,
Player's
Choice. Smart. Santa Anita, they do such a great job, and I just think it's amazing how the contest world has changed so much in the last 5 years. We have such an influx of players. We've seen that through a number of metrics, and yet when I look at the folks that I want to talk about in this tournament segment here, Steve, there's five names I want to mention, and they're all people, when I wrote a book 5 years ago about contests, I reached out to talk to. I didn't actually get Paul for the book, but I got Duke, and I should have gotten both of them, obviously. But, you know, Paul, I consider them a piece with their partnership in putting together the wonderful database that they use to suss out horses like that 12-to-1 shot who propelled them both to their brotherly exacta on Saturday. Then a young guy who Mark Midland just happened to say, hey, there's this guy, he's playing on our site a bunch. You might want to check him out. He was more of a mythical player at the time, more of a head-to-head player, a guy named Garrett Skiba. Well, Garrett Skiba has firmly established himself, I would say, with yet another victory as the best live bankroll player in contest history, bar none. And he gets the win there on Sunday in a live bankroll. I think it was a $400 game. And then the other story in contest, two more guys who were in the book, of course, Paul Sherman. And I will just take this opportunity. I did this on the new In the Money Players podcast as well, and I'll do it here. I will take this opportunity to apologize to Paul Sherman for jinxing him, because I had said many times he was long odds on to do this amazing achievement of becoming the first ever two-time NHC Tour winner. And, you know, he still could be. There's one weekend of action left to play. But he has been passed. And the man who's passed him, I mean, talk about getting beat by a ghost. This is a guy who was, he wasn't kidding when he said he was retired. He didn't play in a single, that I can see, NHC Tour event in the first 6.5 months of the year. But Dave Gutfreund, the artist formerly known as the Maven, came out of retirement and has opened a can of whoop-ass on the tournament world. He has won something on the order, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but 5 tournaments in a row, culminating with this Hawthorne win over the weekend. He and Sherman were, I wish I was a fly on the wall. I think they were either sitting together or sitting near each other where they were communicating and, you know, friendly banter among longtime tournament players. Paul gave it a good run to try to win himself. He was drawing live, even had a long shot winner in the last race, but failed to hook up his exacta in the second spot. But Dave Gutfreund now in position to win the NHC Tour. Now, I don't want to jinx him. That's all I'm going to say. He's in position. He's at the top spot. There is this one more online contest for the tour. I guarantee you Paul will be playing, and he'll have as many entries as are allowed. And I think with an outright, I'm not sure what he needs, certainly an outright win would get him back to the top. It's going to be a fascinating contest to watch over on horseplayers.com this weekend to see what happens. And should Gutfreund hold on, I actually already know of multiple players who are in the NHC who have changed their flight plans to be around for the Sunday night banquet just to see what Dave Gutfreund, no stranger to controversy, might have to say should he be up there on stage making his acceptance speech. It's not a fait accompli. There's still a tournament left to be played, but it's going to be a really interesting story to follow.
Well, you could I guess you could term him controversial. Others might just say Meshuggy. Just completely.
I think he would accept either label, honestly.
A complete and total Meshuggah. And, I mean, you know, rat in a coffee can crazy. That's the other option here. Let's not beat around the bush.
Dave has we go way back. I mean, he has been incredibly helpful to me, not just professionally, also in my life. When I made my trip to England, opening up a wealth of contacts and being very, very helpful. At other times, he seems to have a lot of anger, and I think that fuels the rat in a coffee can aspect that you're talking about. And we do know that there are things in this game at times that can that can make us all a little bit unmoored, whether it's the stress of playing at a professional level and/or the political machinations. I'm very curious what he has to say. I wasn't going to jinx him by reaching out to talk to him this week. I decided I'm going to wait till next week, and then hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk. And I just want to hear what the man has to say.
Well, the self-proclaimed maven, which was really one of the great, you want to talk about anointing yourself and creating a persona, the maven, one of the great nicknames. Then he disappeared over to, as you mentioned, over to the UK. He became an expat, and then he returned, and you know, he's part of this horse racing cult of Chicago Blackhawks fandom.
Skiba, who I mentioned before, another one. He's got season tickets too.
There's a whole bunch. I mean, you know, then there's, well, Craig Burnick.
Burnick must be. He's Mr. Chicago.
Mr. Chicago, and there's a whole bunch more. There is that. The tie, of course, hockey, and you know, hockey players like to bet too. They like the horses, and there's a good connection. But the Blackhawks seem to be the team of choice of cultist hockey horse people.
They're definitely very supported. I feel like. I feel like they're definitely on the short list of the non necessarily obvious ones, like Yankees and Mets, that you know, there's so many horse players in Saratoga, and Red Sox, obviously, Saratoga being such a locus. But you think about teams nationally, and there's a lot of loyal sports fans, and I feel bad for what's happened to the racing out there. I think you can see from the passion, the Chicago contingent is so strong, whether it's the Mustaris or Jim Bennis. There's so many good players out there, and you know, they're in the state where the you almost can't try to bet because of the way the taxes work. I feel bad. I feel like that's an untapped area of growth for racing. Would just be to if Chicago could get it, if Illinois could get its act together.
Well, we got to get. I know you want to do something with David, and he hasn't. I can't remember the last time he was on, but he had vowed that he was going to leave. He was going to leave the horse playing world, and was dedicating himself to poker. And he had some nice runs on the poker side, and then as soon as he thought he was out, we pulled him back in.
That's the analogy. That's it right there. Maybe I'll even play that clip. Maybe we'll get a little Pacino to bring him in when we have him on the new In the Money Players podcast.
Looking at the rest of that top 10, and then I want to also get the fairgrounds results in too. But Paul and Duke 1-2. Don Allen was playing at Santa Anita. Duke went out to the racetrack too. Don Allen was third. Paul won with 2650. Duke was 2565. Don Allen, $2,430. Kevin Willett played on Express Bet, and we see Kevin's name on a regular basis, 2320. Yep. I mentioned Paul Weezer in Boston, and he went out to Santa Anita. He finished fifth, 2160, and Paul's had another good, consistent year. This might be qualification number 14 for him.
That'd be my guess, something
and,
right around
and
there.
15,
absolutely one of the best, and just year in, year out, and does well in all formats. I mean, I guess I think of him more as a live bank guy, but I feel like he has a handle on the mythical game as well.
Well, the sixth place finisher, Tim Yoeler, he played on ExpressBet, 21-11. He tied up with Ty Hoffman, who also finished with 21-11. Tyler was at Santa Anita. Joe Rosen was at Santa Anita, was eighth. Todd Farrow was ninth. He was playing on track. And Ed Sponhurst was 10th. Those were the 10 winners. I don't know if everybody, how many of them used the chit as for next year, if they already had had two seats. I don't see asterisks to denote whether they, you know, pushed it into next year. But I know Paul did because he made a comment on Derby Trail when we congratulated him there. Any other names there that you've dealt with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost all of those names are familiar. A lot of people who I've seen covering the action over at the DRF tournament site over the last few years. Tyler Hoffman, somebody I interviewed in the last few months. You know, one thing I have to do now, I need to create, I wonder if on my new blog I couldn't create some sort of index of the player interviews I've done over the years. One, they were never really that easy to find on the old website, but it might be a fun thing and a cool resource for players when you see a name at the top of the leaderboard. I mean, in that case, there's all of those names have been mentioned at some point, and I'd say, you know, with half of them I've written something about, so you could get a sense of, Paul Weiser, he's the provost from Massachusetts who seems to go to the NHC every year. I just think it's interesting when you're playing in tournaments to get a sense of who your competition is. It makes it a little bit more fun, too.
Well, the other contest, and I reached out, as I mentioned, I reached out to Gary Palmisano Jr., and here was your winners on the 22nd, the day of that terrific card at Fairgrounds. And your winner, who got the NHC seat and $5,500 cash, John Kaiser, was your winner from Krotz Springs, Louisiana. Marcus John Kaiser. And then you had Darren Yarwood was second. Lawrence Calden, very familiar. And actually, he was double qualified. So he was playing just for the cash prizes. And because of that, Tom O'Keefe got a seat. And Baychak picked up either his, I think his second, because I think I remember when he got his first, which might have been around September or October. So those were your winners at the Fairgrounds on the 22nd.
The NHC always a better place when Michael Baychak, the million-dollar man, is in the house. And I don't know if that's his second or first, but it's good to know he'll be out there bidding to become the first ever two-time winner of the NHC Finals. There is a sad note, Steve. I wanted to pass along before we go, and you probably saw this on Twitter, but it might be upsetting.
I mentioned it yesterday.
We were talking about great Chicago horse players. Yeah. I want to talk about a great Cicero horse player, and that's our buddy John Rowe, who unfortunately passed away this week, complications due to liver cancer. This was one of the greatest, it was probably the greatest story of the NHC last year, how he made this run to the final table, ended up, he looked like he was going to get there, sort of slipped out of position, and then ended up hitting a horse called Miss You Joe, who was not just a hunch play, the horse made sense to him on paper, but Joe being the name of his son who'd passed away in a car accident. The whole thing felt like a movie script, and he ended up getting to the final table and having this amazing experience taken too soon from us. I did send around on Twitter, and maybe I'll bump it one more time, the article I wrote about him. It's one of the things that I did at DRF that I'm the proudest of, and I have to hat tip John Doyle of Optics EQ as the man who pointed me to the story, and thank you also, Steve, for helping spread that tale around, because I think it was heartwarming, and the guy went through so much and was just such a true horse player and somebody who just absolutely loved the game, and his story meant so much to so many of us who cover the sport and who are fans of the sport and fans of the tournament world in particular.
Well, as it happens, I asked Casey this morning. I mentioned yesterday that we would play the conversation we had with him.
Fabulous.
And we're going to play it after Sid today.
Oh, great.
It's very moving and inspiring. I mean, you know, you don't want it just to be, you know, maudlin and just kind of a sad moment, even if it is. But the conversation and his story is really it puts a different spin, I think, for everybody. It makes you realize what's most important, and you know, appreciate obviously good health, and even when things aren't going well, you know, from a horse player side, you realize how much worse everything could be. So that it's sobering and inspiring at the same time.
I think inspiring is a great word, because he was a man of deep faith, and whether or not you share that particular conviction with him, to be able to just follow his tale and see how he believed in himself and maintained a sense of purpose through really difficult times, and ended up really having an enriching, in more ways than one, life experience out there in the desert last year. It's cool stuff, and I'll be staying tuned in throughout the morning via SteveBick.com, SiriusXM, to listen to that segment again. I was going to dig it up myself. I appreciate you guys making it easy for us.
Not at all. I sent it out Saturday evening after I saw that Alex Waldrop spread the news of the passing, and I think people will really enjoy this because I know at the time they were just blown away by, you know, by the conversation at the, you know, I think it was on Thursday after we all got back from Vegas, and gave it a few days for the, you know, for things to kind of sink in. And even then, I don't think it was totally, I don't think it had totally sunk in what he had accomplished. If you're looking to do the same kind of thing at Horse Players on Saturday, this week, the final tour point, as Pete mentioned, the final contest for tour points, and there'll be five seats guaranteed to go on Saturday. Horseplayers.com, and yeah, there's games on a daily basis, but this will be the really among the last multiple seat opportunities. Tampa on the 19th is going to have an on site, and that's a player's choice contest. There'll be two NHC seats available at Tampa on the 19th, and you can still go to use one for Vegas this year, or use it for 2020. So
tour points there, but you can win in. And then, of course, the last one will just be the last chance in the days or the day before the NHC starts. But even if you're not playing in this Horse Players Contest over the weekend, scoreboard watch. If Paul Sherman makes a run, and he usually makes a run, it's going to be real interesting.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it, and we'll be very focused in and get everybody ready for Vegas, and of course we'll be anxious to see the odds that Tony Neville posts for everybody, for the players, and everybody gets a chance to bet on themselves. I think Paul Matisse was more tickled by cashing a ticket on himself than he was winning the $750.
That's right. He'd had bigger scores than the 750, but he never had a chance to win a bet on himself. So, you know, from his point of view, it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Well, hook up with Pete on Twitter, looms boldly. All the information for the new In the Money podcast with Pete and with Jonathan, and it's going to be a good new year, and we'll make sure.
Thank you so much, Steve. Your continued support means everything, and always love the chance to interact with the At the Races listeners as well. Holler at me anytime. Happy to talk you through the tournament world or just talk about horse racing issues in general. It's what we do.
Or any of the other crazy things that end up being talked about.
The rabbit holes we go down.
Exactly. Discussed this last night. It's pretty funny. Pete Fortitel, everybody. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Sid, and we'll talk about the sale and get 50% of the sale is in the books, and anxious for Sid's analysis of Abel Tasman, see who he thinks would match up best with her, who he would recommend, although maybe he wants to sell that to Coolmore. We're going to talk about the final standings of the sire lists for 2018. And I asked him one other thing. I had three. I've always got a half a dozen things for Sid. We'll get through as many as we can. Some more Eclipse. You know, when we talked last week, it was speculating on Eclipse finalists. So now that we've got finalists, we'll see what Sid thinks of that that list. Back after this, hour two at the races, Sirius XM. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.